Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Menei Mezonot.
Amen.
So, gentlemen, I'm going to try to give a shiur. What that means is, this is serious business for me. You know, I'm not here to. You know, another time you call me, and I'll give you my. I have a couple of jokes to tell you, and I have a whole tap dance. But now we're going to learn very serious. I don't know your level because I don't know you. I know Yossi, I know Yaniv, and I'm hoping that you'll enjoy this as well. First, let me start by wishing everyone a happy Chodesh. This is Chodesh Adar, but as you know, Chodesh Adar in this particular year, and this is going to happen every 3 or 4 years, is a little bit tricky because it's the one month of the year that doubles itself, it clones itself. So we have Adar Aleph and we have Adar Bet. And what I want to call your attention to is the following issue, which came up many, many centuries ago. It's in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and that you'll see on the bottom of your page 1 in Masechet Megillah, and that is which is the real Adar, okay? And in the language of the Yerushalmi, the question is Adar Rishon a Tosefet, or is Adar Sheni a Tosefet? Let me try to explain. As you know, the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. Now, as a result, there's a discrepancy between the lunar year and the solar calendar, the solar year. So what's going to happen is that as a result of the shorter months in a lunar calendar, it's going to start accumulating, it's going to catch up to us after a while. And the key of keys is to make sure that Pesach falls out b'chodesh Aviv. That's what the Torah says. And if we don't add what's called a shana mu'uberet, if we don't do what's called an ibur shana, to add an extra month, then the situation gets out of hand. And eventually Pesach will no longer be in Chodesh Aviv. So what we need is, let's say after 3 years of this discrepancy, we need an extra month that's going to push forward the month of Adar in such a way that now Pesach in the month of Nisan is going to be in Chodesh Aviv. Now, there are two ways of looking at this. One way of looking at this is to say that the first Adar, the one which we began just a few hours ago today, that Adar is really a fake. It's not a real Adar. It's only there as a cushion to push the real Adar forward. But the real Adar is the second Adar. The other way of looking at it is just the opposite, that the first Adar is the real Adar, but now it ends prematurely because now Nisan is going to be too early, it won't be in Chodesh Aviv, so we have to cushion it by adding a second Adar, but the second Adar is only the cushion. In the language of the Yerushalmi, that's called a Tosefet. So there's Ikar and there's Tosefet, and there are two ways of looking at it. Let me go over it one more time. One way is to say that this month, which is called Adar Aleph, the first Adar, that's the Ikar, and then the second Adar is the Tosefet. The other way to say it is that, on the contrary, the first Adar is just a Tosefet, so like a belly that's going to push forward the real Adar, and the real Adar is Chodesh Adar Bet. Now, let me ask you what difference it makes. Who cares? Right? It seems like such a theoretical, conceptual question that has no repercussions. But I'm going to tell you it has tremendous repercussions. A young boy was born in a regular year, and there was only one Adar. We calculate, fast forward 13 years. When does he become bar mitzvah? Is he bar mitzvah in the first Adar or in the second Adar? If we assume that the first Adar is the real Adar, then we've counted 13 years, he became bar mitzvah in the first Adar. If, on the other hand, the real Adar is Adar Bet, then we have to postpone his bar mitzvah. Now, you and I might say, okay, you know what, why don't we make two bar mitzvahs? You know what I'm saying? This is great, you know what I'm saying? But again, if he could afford it. But the answer is that we're dealing with much more serious issues. And I'll give you a few examples. Once a young man is bar mitzvah, he could be tried in a Jewish court of law even for a capital punishment. That doesn't work in other secular law. But in Jewish law, a boy who reaches the age of 13, a girl who reaches the age of 12, is already considered a gadol, a gdola, and therefore for all dinim. It means that if he violates the Shabbat publicly, we can put him to death. I'll give you another difference. Let's say he testifies against someone else. If he's not bar mitzvah, we cannot accept his testimony. That can be relevant to a capital case. So we're dealing with very serious issues. According to Jewish law, a 13-year-old boy could get married. And that marriage is no different than a marriage of a 20-year-old. And if he doesn't divorce his wife with a get, then she, if she has another relationship, she could be put to death for that. Under the, so we're dealing with very serious issues. What is going to be in that month between, let's say he was born on the 1st of Adar in a regular year. So now we fast forward by 13 years. We're up to the 1st of Adar 13 years later. What's going to be in that month between the 1st of Adar Aleph and the 1st of Adar Bet? Is he still a Katan, which again translates loosely in English into a minor, or is he a Gadol? He's already considered adult because the 1st Adar is the real Adar. I'll give you another difference. The law is that every document in Jewish law has to have a date on it. Now, in the case of a double Adar, if you wrote a date that just says Adar and you didn't qualify, what does that mean? Does that mean it's the first Adar, or does that mean it's the second Adar? This depends on which Adar is the real one and which is the Tosefet, which is the extra Adar. Another difference. This is a sensitive topic. Does anybody here know what a yard site is? Yeah? Some Ashkenazim here in the neighborhood? You know, maybe you know what a yard site is.
Yeah.
So that's called, in the language of the Gemara, it's called Yom Shemet Bo Aviv, or Yom Shemet Bo Imo. How do I calculate a yard site in a case of a regular year? In other words, let's say my father, I can say this because I lost both my parents, I'm an orphan. Okay. You don't have to cry for me, but anyway, so I lost my father in a regular Adar, and now, a year later, when do I commemorate his yahrzeit? Should I do it in the first Adar, or should I do it in the second Adar, when he passed away? So what is the real Yom Shemei Po Aviv? These are some of the issues that come up, and there are many other issues. I just want to mention to you something that's absolutely fascinating. It's not my main topic for today, but I can't hold myself back. This is something amazing. On page 2, for those who like to see a text, there's a quote from the Shulchan Aruch, right? Rav Yosef Cairo. Okay? And he says the following. Maybe we'll get a chance to read it inside, but let me first tell you outside. Does anybody mind if I stand? Okay. Here's the deal, my friends. Okay? Two brothers were born an hour apart. Okay? They were born on a Shana Me'uberet, meaning there are two Adars. One brother, we'll call him the older brother, was born on the 29th of Adar Aleph. His younger twin, who was born an hour later, I'm just dramatizing it, was born on Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet. Which one becomes bar mitzvah first? The older brother or the younger brother? Can a younger brother become bar mitzvah before an older brother?
Why not?
Only in halakha. Only in Jewish law. Says the Shulchan Aruch, in this case, what's going to happen is, fast forward by 13 years, the first brother, we'll call him Reuven, he becomes a gadol on the last day of Adar, on the 29th of Adar. His younger brother, Shimon, becomes bar mitzvah on the 1st of Adar. Did anybody follow what I said? By show of hands. No, let me try it again. The older brother, excuse me, the older brother was born on the 29th of Adar Aleph. The younger brother was born on the 1st of Adar Bet. The younger brother becomes bar mitzvah 13 years later on the 1st of Adar, it's a regular year, and his older brother will only become bar mitzvah 28 days later. I have a drink, so thanks. Yeah, thanks so much. I don't need to once a night. What? How could the younger brother be considered a gadol? He's a major. He's a full-fledged player before his older brother. Don't we just say that we should calculate 13 years times 12 months, and that's when you became? No. We need a calendar date. And the calendar date, in the case of Reuven, who was born first, was the 29th of Adar, albeit Adar Al. And the calendar date of the birth of Shimon was the 1st of Adar, albeit Adar Bet. Nevertheless, fast forward 13 years, Shimon, the younger brother, becomes Bar Mitzvah on the 1st of Adar. And Reuven, the older brother, will have to wait another 29 days. And that's how it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, and that's halacha l'maaseh. This I find fascinating, because if a young man goes through a transition between being a minor, between a katan and a gadol, it means he matured, right? The Gemara says that a gadol is a bar dat, meaning he's capable of making decisions, he has life experience, he's already mature. I don't think in secular law you'd say that about a 13-year-old. I don't know. But in Jewish law, 13 will do it for you. How could it be that the older brother is still a katan for the next 29 days when his younger brother is already gadol? Who matured faster? So I want to share with you an insight of one of the great giants of the previous generation. He was called the Chazon Ish. How many people heard of the Chazon Ish? The Chazon Ish says something amazing. The Gemara tells us that if an ox gores three times consecutively on the same calendar date, what I mean to say is, let's say there are 3 months, right, continuous, and every time he gores on the 15th of the month, he becomes what's called a Shor HaMu'ad. He's classified with the stigma of being a belligerent ox. And the difference is going to be you have to protect him very carefully. Why? Because he has a pattern. And that pattern means that we can already anticipate in the next month, on the 15th of the month, he's going to become belligerent. Says the Chazon Ish, if this situation were to happen and Beit Din would decide that they want to change the month, then he's no longer Shor HaMu'ad. What that means is that, you know, every lunar month in the Jewish calendar could be either Chaser or Moly. Who knows what that means? Chaser means how many days?
29.
And Moly means 30. Now the Beit Din, the Jewish court, is going to determine whether it should be Chaser or Moly. That's going to be a difference of one day in the calendar. So the Chazon Ish says that the nature of the animal is going to be determined by Beit Din. Can you hear such a thing, my friends? Mind-boggling. He takes this a step further. There's something called a trefa. A trefa is an animal that has some sort of puncture to an inner vital organ, and the halakha assumes that that animal, if it's a bona fide trefa, is going to die within 12 months due to its injury. But the laws of trefa are complicated. How do you identify a trefa? You know, where's the hole? Where's the puncture? Is it in the lungs? And is it, you know, there are 18 different organs. It's very complicated. Says the Chazon Ish that this animal is to be taken to the Mora Hora, that's the posek. He's going to decide whether it's a trefa. He will determine whether the animal is going to live for 12 months. If the rabbi says, based on his Hora'ah, that this animal is not a trefa, then it's going to live past 12 months. Mind-boggling. Are you with me on this? It means that the halakha is going to determine reality. We assume that reality is reality, right? We call it in Hebrew mitziut. Kacha mitziut. And the halakha is going to issue a verdict or a ruling based on that reality. Now we're saying the other way around, that the halakha is going to determine the reality. It's unbelievable how many repercussions there are to this principle if you accept it. There's an amazing power and authority that's vested in the Jewish court to determine when is Rosh Chodesh. And that has tremendous implications. You know, today is Adar, so we're getting in the mood for which holiday?
Purim.
But let's turn the clock back, if you don't mind, for a little bit. Then talk about Chanukah. Chanukah was a battle between the Jews and whom? The Yevanim, right? The Hellenists. So it says in Chazal that one of the enterprises, one of the elements that they, the Yevanim, the Hellenists, couldn't tolerate, was called Kiddush HaChodesh. The fact that the Jewish rabbis are in charge of determining the month. Why are they so bothered? Don't they have better things on their agenda than to get upset about Kiddush HaChodesh? Okay, one of the things they attacked was Brit Milah. That I understand. You know, even today, in many anti-Semitic circles, they're trying to prohibit Brit Milah. Another statement, they couldn't tolerate Shabbat. You know, that's the holiest day of the week for us. They didn't like this holiness bit. But Rosh Chodesh, I mean, let the rabbis determine when. But you know what they couldn't comprehend? The power and the authority that's vested in the Beit Din, in the court, to determine Rosh Chodesh has such tremendous repercussions that it might even change reality. That they couldn't tolerate. And that was one of the things they attacked. So why do I mention this to you? Because let's go back to our case of a young man who became an older brother because he was born on the last day of Adar Rishon. His brother was born on the first day of Adar Sheni, and his brother now is considered a Gadol 29 days before his older brother. How can he be a Gadol before his older brother? But maybe what we're saying is that since Beit Din are determining the nature of the month, that's going to have an impact on the reality, on the maturity level of the child. I don't know. Just thinking out loud. Now, let me ask you the following question. We have, in the month of Adar, a mitzvah of Simcha. Right? Mishenechnas Adar, the Mishnah says at the end of the second Tanit, Marbim Be Simcha. Correct? Are we going to sing that tune today, on Adar Rishon? Or do we have to wait another month till Adar Sheni? When does the Simcha of Purim begin? When is Purim? Should Purim be commemorated on the first Adar or the second Adar? Everybody knows the answer to the question. When do we celebrate Purim?
Second Adar.
So we're not ready for Purim yet. We have to wait another 6 weeks, correct? In the Gemara itself, there's a major controversy over this issue. That you'll see on page 1. And if you count the third paragraph before the end of the page, Tanya, we have a Braita, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Karu et HaMegillah Badar Rishon, Vinit Avra Shana, Korino Tabar Badar Sheni. So they went in, they read the Megillah in Adar Rishon, and then Beit Din decided to add another month of Adar Sheni. They're going to have to read the Megillah a second time around in Adar Sheni. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi Omer, and Korino Tabar Adar Sheni. We do not read the Megillah in the second Adar. In other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to read the Megillah in the first Adar. Which is the real Adar according to Rabbi Eliezer?
First one.
The first one. The second Adar is just a Tosefet. It's just a buffer zone, right? Because we have to push down Nisan a little bit further. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, on the other, the real Adar seems to be Adar Sheni, the second Adar. And therefore you cannot celebrate Purim in the first Adar. However, the Gemara says that logically, according to the rules of Halakha, Rabbi Eliezer is correct. We should be celebrating Purim on the first Adar. Why? Because we have a principle that any mitzvah, and you have an opportunity to fulfill it, grab the opportunity. Don't delay a mitzvah. That's called Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvah. So we have Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Which should we grab onto? Adar Rishon. So the Gemara says, well, what about Reb Shimon Gamliel? He says that we should be celebrating Purim and reading the Megillah in Adar Sheni. What happened to the principle of Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvah? So the Gemara comes up with a very sophisticated, abstract concept, a new principle called Samchinan Geula LeGeula, which means the following. Then we have two redemptions. We have the redemption of Chodesh Adar, which means we redeemed from the terrible decree of Haman. And then we have the redemption of Chodesh Nisan, and we redeemed as slaves from Egypt. So we want to put those two redemptions contiguous, one adjoined to the other. So therefore we're going to push off Purim from the first Ador to the second Ador, because now the second Ador becomes the Ador of Simcha, and that's going to commemorate the Geula of the Gzeres Haman, and then we're going to attach that to immediately the Geula of Mitzrayim in Chodesh Nisan in Pesach. Very complicated business. Says the Trumat Hadesh, and he lived about 6 centuries ago, that fundamentally the Gemara accepts the view of Rabbi Eliezer, that the real Adar and the real Purim should be the first one. The only reason the Gemara rejects it is because of this outstanding external logic, this svara that maybe we should make sure that Purim should be celebrated the month right before Pesach. Samchin in Gula l'Gula. But if not for that outstanding external svara, we would have said that the real Adar is Adar Rishon. And even Rav Shimon Gamliel would have accepted Rabbi Eliezer. So let's come back to our original question. You write a shtar, you write a document, and you wrote Adar. Which Adar is that? You didn't qualify. So what's the real Adar? Again, the Trumat Hadesh says that Purim should have been commemorated which month? The first Adar. We only push it off for an external reason, some sort of compelling logic, which we don't understand necessarily. So which is the real Adar then? The first Adar, are you with me? No, I don't know. It's the middle of the day, so yeah, I don't know what time you said Vatikin today. So yeah.
The question is, sorry.
Go ahead.
Question is, do we use a second Adar in every case or only in the case of Purim? Because if we use it in every case, then you have to use it for everything, even for the day.
So I'm suggesting that if you take the Trumat Hadesh and his approach, is that fundamentally we all agree that Purim should be in the first Adar, because that's the real Adar. Then a Yahrzeit should be commemorated in the first Adar. Then a shtar should be written. If it says Adar, it means the first Adar. Then it means that when you calculate 13 years since the birth of this child in Adar, we should stop when he gets to Adar Rishon, and that's when he should be a Gadol. And therefore I should summarize my whole approach here, that Purim is the exception to the rule, only because of this ruling called Samchina Gula L'Gula. But if not for that principle, then the real Adar is Adar Rishon. And it makes a lot of sense intuitively, because you've gotten to the month of Adar, call it the month of Adar. Now here I want to share with you a fascinating insight of the Chizkuni. I'll show it to you. No, you know what? We're not going to read it inside, because we don't have time. So you'll have to trust me. You willing to do that? You don't even know me. But you know, there are two good witnesses here. So, well, I don't know, I'm testifying on your behalf. Maybe I shouldn't, you know. Am I reliable here? Okay. All right. The Chizkuni, who's one of the Balei HaTosfot, and the Rishonim, one of the Ashkenazic Rishonim, he says the following. There are 12 mazalot. Are you familiar at all with the zodiac? Anybody know what the mazal of Adar is?
Fish.
Fish, right. I think it's called Pisces in English or something along that line. I don't know how to pronounce it. Dagim in Hebrew. So the Chizkuni says the following. The maximum number of mazalot is 12. There's no such thing as a 13th mazal. What question do we have to now investigate?
Which Adar
is going to have the mazal of Dagim? Because again, my premise is A, that there are only 12 mazalot. My premise number 2 is that Adar gets the mazal of Dagim. Premise number 3 is now I have a cloned Adar, right? I don't know which is the Ikar, which is the Tofel, which is the main Adar, which is just the Tosef at the add-on. But now I have to ask myself, which month gets the mazal of Dagim? So I wonder, I'm going to just, again, I don't want to belabor you with the very complicated text here, but I just want to read to you what the Chizkuni says. Okay, I apologize, I just want to, sometimes, you know, otiot machkimo. He says the following. At the end of Parshat Bishalach, Yoshua is called upon to fight a military battle against whom? Anybody remember? Amalek. So Moshe Rabbeinu commands Yoshua, "Bechar lanu anashim, choose the soldiers who should go out to battle against our enemies, against Amalek." Says the Chizkuni, "Who would be worthy? Who would be a great candidate to go and battle against Amalek?" Says the Chizkuni, Anashim Shenoldu Ba'adar Sheni. Now, again, I don't know, you have to work it out statistically, what percentage of the male population of the Jewish people would fit that category. Because you'd have to be born in a double Adar year, and you have to be born in Adar Sheni. I don't know, you could work it out mathematically, probably. It's probably, let's see, 1 over 12 times 1 over 4. Anybody want to work out the mathematics for me? Anyway, these are the people that have to go out to battle. So, is there anyone here who's born in a double Adar year? Nobody. Okay, you see, I already proved my point. It's kind of rare. So why are we choosing these people to go out to fight against Amalek? Says the Chizkuni, because these people were not born under any mazal. And he says the following, that Amalek has a power of evil against the 12 months, each of which is represented or personifies, manifests itself in a certain month. The best way to defeat Amalek is to find someone who doesn't belong to any mazal at all. Now, how could you have such a thing? There are 12 months of the year and 12 mazalot. The answer is Adar Sheni, because Adar Sheni does not have a mazal. And why not?
Adar Aleph has it.
Adar Aleph has it, because Adar Aleph chapt mazal. Why? Because apparently, according to the Chizkuni, which is the real Adar?
Adar
Aleph. And Adar Bet is just a Tosefet. So it just hangs there in midair, but it doesn't really belong to anything. It's just a buffer zone, just to get Nisan in the right time, you know, Chodesh Aviv. And therefore, if you were born in Adar Bet, you're born mazalless, and therefore the kishuf, the sorcery power of Amalek is going to be impotent. They can't defeat you because they can't attack your mazal. Mind-boggling. But what I see, one thing from the Chizkuni, that he understood that Adar Sheni is the tag on. That's the Tosef.
Why is Purim in Adar Bet?
So again, I go back to the Truman Adeshin. Purim is the exception to the rule. The rule is that Adar Aleph is the real Adar. Purim is the exception to the rule. Why? Because Samchinan Gu'ula L'Gu'ula. Again, I don't want to go through it a third time, but you remember what we said. So now I ask myself the question, you know, if the real Adar is Adar Aleph, maybe Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim Simcha, to be joyous and break out in a dance. By the way, before we go to Mincha, we have to have a dance, because I'm going to try to prove to you that Adar Rishon is the real Adar. The Ramah says that a yahrzeit should be commemorated on Adar Aleph. Okay? The Pri Chadash says that the child should be considered a gadol when 13 years pass and he reaches Adar Aleph. We're beginning to see that Adar Aleph is a major player over here, the major player. Adar Bet is important, but it has no mazal. No luck for her, which is good against Amalek, but it's not so good because we really want Dagim. So now we have Adar Aleph, according to Chizkuni, grabbing on to mazal Dagim. And in a minute I want to ask you, why is it so important to have mazal Dagim? But that'll come in a minute. Here's what I think we should say at this point. If the real Adar is Adar Aleph, is there any halachic significance to Simcha during Adar Aleph? So we're going to fast forward to the very last halacha in Hilchot Purim, in Hilchot Megillah. It's called Tafresh Tzadi Zayin. And the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserlitz, writes that Yeshno Agim, there are those who have the custom to make a simcha and a mishteh on the 14th and the 15th of Adar Aleph. That is wild. Because we just came to the conclusion that we hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel and we accept his opinion. We have to shift Purim over from Adar Aleph to Adar Bet. And we're going to have a celebration and a simcha and a mishteh on Adar Bet. And that's what we're going to do 6 weeks from today. Here in Yerushalayim, we celebrate on the 15th. And now you're telling me to make a party on the 14th, 15th of Adar Aleph. Does anybody know what that date is called in the language? Purim Katan. Who's here? Oh, so I didn't know you were here. Here's my man, Purim Katan. So the Ramah codifies this minhag that we should have a simcha and a mishta on Purim Katan. The Ramah doesn't accept this meaning, but he says, you know what? We should be careful about it, and we should be machmir because there is such an opinion. So what I'm seeing now is that there's Simcha and Mishta inherent in Adar Aleph. Again, we have to push off Purim and the reading of the Megillah to Adar Bet because of this svar of some Kina Gula Lagula. But fundamentally, the real Adar is Adar Aleph. Adar Bet is just the Tosefet. So there should be some expression of Simcha commemorating the great miracle of Purim during Adar Aleph. And I wouldn't have the chutzpah to say this unless I saw this Ramah.
It's a Mefush Gemara. Ein bein Adar Aleph Adar Sheni Ela Simcha Ela Mishte Matanis Levanim Levan. It's a Mefush Gemara.
So wait a minute. Ein bein Adar Rishon Adar Sheni Ela
Kriyas Megillah
Right, so right. But okay, I don't remember the whole sugya right now. But the final maskana of the sugya is that we push all of the mishnas over to Adar Sheni. So when I say to you that there's a minig of a simcha mishnah on Rishon, that's a chiddush. That's a new idea that's not written in the Gemara. Again, if we had time, we go through the sugya inside. But I'm just pointing out that there is some sort of fledgling, or shall I say, latent simcha that's inherent in Adar Rishon. But I want to share with you an unbelievable chiddush of the Ketav Sofer. He was the son of the Chassam Sofer about 150 years ago in Hungary. And he writes that on the 14th of Adar Aleph, or the 15th in Yerushalayim, you should be giving Matanos Levyonim. You should be giving gifts to the poor. Why? He says, fine, the Rambam writes, if you have a choice, you have limited funds, you could spend more money to embellish your Seudat Purim, or more money to embellish your mitzvah of Matanot Lev Yonim, you should earmark the money for Matanot Lev Yonim. Because Ein lecha simcha gdola kmo simchat aniyim. The greatest joy is when these poor people can receive this financial support that they need. Says the Ketav Sofer, if you're already observing Simcha Adar Aleph, in what we call Purim Katan, then I have a kal v'chomer here. How much more so should you experience the simcha of giving Matanot Lev Yonim? Again, it's against the Gemara, but that's what the Ketav Sofer says. And the Sfas Emes goes even a step further. He was one of the great Hasidic leaders. He writes, get this one, that if you made a mishta and a simcha on Adar Rishon, you're part of making a mishta on Adar Sheni. Wild! I mean, these are crazy ideas in the halachic universe. But what it means is that Adar Rishon is really the Adar. Now, what about the mazel of Dagim? So let me say a few words about Dagim. How much time do we have? Do we have 5 more minutes?
Yeah, we'll daven mincha here.
All right, so I'll wrap it up now in 5 minutes. What is so great about mazal Dagim? Let me make 3 points, very quickly. Point number one. Fish live in water. They don't survive out of water. We have a principle called Ein Mayim Ela Torah. Water is the symbolism of the Torah. Rabbi Akiva was caught learning, teaching publicly during the Roman era of the decrees, and they asked him, why are you doing this? And he said, for me, not to teach Torah is like a fish out of water, I can't survive. So this month, first and foremost, of Dagim, gives us an ability to learn Torah. So I applaud you all for coming to learn with me today. The second element of Dagim is that Dagim are considered concealed from the naked eye because they live underwater. As a result, Ein Ayin Hara Sholetet Bahem, which means that no one could upset the fish. And the fish reproduce at an unbelievable rate. This is a tremendous bracha, a tremendous blessing for the month of Adar, which is invested with Mazal Dagim. But I'm most excited about the third element in the Mazal of Adar, and that is Rachel Imenu. Rachel had Yosef and Binyamin. Yosef had Ephraim and Menashe. The descendants of Rachel were included in Yaakov Avinu's bracha at the end of Parshas Vayechi, at the end of Sefer Bereishis, which is V'yidgu la'rov b'kervatz, V'yidgu like the fish, they should multiply. And why? Because Rachel Imenu represents a selfless person. She's willing to take a back seat for her sister Leah. And that humility is what we call Ein Ayin Hara Sholetet Bahem. Does anybody know about Rachel? We only know through Chazal, through the Torah Sheval Peh. Everything was done clandestinely, secret. But in a self-effacing way, without concern for herself, she did it for her sister. Not knowing, by the way, if she would ever marry Yaakov Avinu. No, we see the end result, but she had no guarantee. And therefore, I want to present to you something that I found in a book called Sefer HaTodah of Rav Eliyahu Kitov. Highly recommended book. They have it in English as well. And Rav Kitov, the only drawback of his Sefer is that he doesn't quote his sources. But they're all based on Chazal. You know, he doesn't tell us where they are. He quotes a source that goes the following. And with this I want to conclude. He says that every one of the mazalot, with the exception of one, is formulated in Lashon Yachid, in the singular. He reads you the following list. He says, Akrav, again I'm not going to translate this, Akrav, Keshet, Gidi, Dli, Tle, Shor, Sartan, Aryeh, Bitula. They're all in singular, with one exception. Adar. Adar is called not Dad, but Dagir. And he says the following. Remez l'shnei adarim. This is the only month that could clone itself and get two. And he says the following. That what is the nature of the mazalot of Dagim with regard to Adar? He says, Ein Adar Sheni Mazal, Ein Adar Sheni Mazal Dagim, Ela Mishum Adar Rishon. In other words, the real Mazal Dagim, this is the exact opposite of the Chizkuni that we said before. No. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Right? I'm sorry. I just want to calculate it. This is the opposite of the Chizkuni, right? The Chizkuni says that Adar Sheni doesn't have a Mazal at all, right? But what we're saying now is that the real Mazal is going to be Adar Sheni. But why does Adar Rishon get the status of Dagim? Because Adar Rishon was the one that stepped aside in order to create, to facilitate Adar Sheni. And this means, my friends, that there's a concept called a facilitator. And, you know, we talk about, again, we don't have time for this, but Yisachar and Zvulun, two Shvatim, and Yisachar were the teachers of Torah, but Zvulun would go out and support them. And Chazal say they split in the reward. It's as if Zvulun, because they facilitated Yisachar, had learned Torah, and they'll get exactly half of the Sechar. We talk about the Gemara in Sota says that how does a woman get a share in her husband's Torah? And she gets the schut of his Torah because she facilitates his ability. She pushes him to go learn Torah. All this is really the greatness of Adar Rishon. Adar Rishon is a great month, not just because of everything we discussed in the last half hour, but also because it sets up Adar Sheni. So my blessing to you and to myself and to all our families is that we should be zoche in this Adar, which is the real Adar of Adar Rishon, to the Mazal of Dagim, all the Bracha, all the Ein Ha'ayin Arau Sholetetan. And we should be zoche to have the Simcha of Adar Rishon, and that will project us and propel us in Yemir Shem to the Simcha of Adar Sheni.
Thank you so much.
We'll have a mincha here right now.
Okay. Yeah.